Open your Bibles with me to the book of Romans, chapter 4. In this chapter, the Apostle Paul has been dealing with the imputation of righteousness to the saints of God. And he's used this term in the King James. It's translated variously. In verse 3, it's in the text is verse 8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And so the word is translated variously throughout the chapter. It's counted in verse 3. It's reckoned in verse 4. And it's counted in verse 5, imputed in verse 6. And there's a couple of others places. But the idea is exactly the same. And the word in the Greek is exactly the same. It's not a various word. The King James translator sometimes varied the translation when it was the same word. Sometimes that's good and sometimes it is not good. But at any rate, the point I'm making here is that Paul was setting forth this idea that there's a man or there are people to whom the Lord will not charge sin. And that's a marvelous concept, if you think of it, because the whole human race is nothing but sinners from the time of Adam right on down to the present, and as long as time endures, all sinners. Never been anything but, except the Lord Jesus Christ did not sin. And so this verse of scripture brings up a question. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And the question is, who is this man? How do we find this man? What does he look like? And so I want to preach to you this morning on the theme, searching for the man whom God will not charge with sin. And that should be the theme, searching for this man to whom God will not charge sin. First of all, many times when we do this and when others do this, the search looks in all the wrong places for this man. Because if you expect to find a man without sin, you're wasting an awful lot of time. He will never be found. There's not one on the earth except the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on earth. There's never been a single year since the foundation of the world that there was a man on the earth, on any continent, any place, any color, any kind that wasn't a sinner. And the law of God is very quick to point to the sinner and say, guilty, and charge every man with sin. So when we look to the law of God, as far as the human race is concerned, you're never going to find a man that hasn't got sin and that sin is not charged to him as a man, because we're all guilty. Look in the third chapter of the book of Romans. And let me give you just a few verses here. Starting in verse 10, it is written, there is none righteous, None righteous. Underline that in your minds. None are righteous. I'm not righteous, and you are not righteous, and those people over there are not righteous, and those people over there are not righteous. There are none righteous in their own standing. No, not one. There is none that understands. There's none that seeks after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And then he goes on and talks about their throat being an open sepulcher, and their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they've not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Well, let me tell you, you're never going to find any righteousness if you're depending on the law of God to give it to you, because the law cannot produce righteousness. It recognizes righteousness, but it never produces it. And we cannot be righteous through the law. God's law, then, on the other hand, demands death, physical death and spiritual death for every sinner, every lawbreaker. And as a lawbreaker, the penalty of death is upon you right now. It's upon me. And we're, as it were, like a man that's been convicted of murder, and all the appeals have run out, and there's no possibility that the governor's going to pardon him, and the day of his execution is set, and he's been taken into the death chamber, strapped in the electric chair, and what? All that now needs to be done is for the executor to throw the switch. That's where we are by men as natures. All we're waiting for is the switch to be thrown. The soul that sins, it shall die. It must die. And not just physically, but spiritually. In Romans 3:20, it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law. When you look at the law, this is what you see. There shall be no flesh justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. That law is like a mirror. Every time we turn our heads to the right or the left, we're looking into the mirror of God's law, and it says, sinner, you must die. Therefore, looking to the law is looking in the wrong place, because all the law does is condemn sinners. And we as sinners are looking for something else. Then sometimes people say, well, I do pretty well. I'm doing pretty good. If you're looking to yourself, you've missed the boat, because you are a sinner. And Jesus said in Luke 16 and verse 15 to the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, you are they which justify yourselves. That's those scribes and Pharisees said, we're all right. We're Abraham's children. We've been circumcised, and we are going to go to heaven, and we're going to be with God forever. And Jesus rebuked them. And he said, you justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. You don't want to look to yourself, because all there is in you and in me is an abomination in the sight of God. And then you don't want to look to religion. A lot of people are looking to religion. Let me warn you that you can be a faithful member of a lot of churches and go to hell. False churches, and there are multiplied thousands of them, send more people to hell than lots of the other things that men are involved in that are wicked, because they teach a false plan of salvation. Anybody that teaches an individual that you can be saved by what you do is a false religion. And if it's not for the grace of God, that religion will carry you to hell. And you don't want to have a thing in the world to do with any religion of works. You can do everything they tell you to do, and you'll wind up in the same place that every other unsaved sinner does. Jesus said in Matthew 5:20, "For I say unto you," that's Matthew 5:20, "that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." These were religious people. These were people that studied the scriptures. But Christ said, if your righteousness is not better than theirs, it'll take you right to hell. Now notice that Paul says in our text, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute or charge sin." There are some people that God will not charge sin. That's what we're looking for, but we got to go through this to get there. Jesus Christ called those people hypocrites. And if you'll read Matthew 23 and verse, the whole chapter, you'll find that he was really telling the Pharisees what they were, the scribes. Look at verse 23 and verse 14. "Woe unto you, scribes." Now these were the religious doctors of the law, the students of the Bible. "Woe unto you, you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." You know what a hypocrite is? A hypocrite, it's taken from the play acting of the Greeks. And in those days, and there were only men actors, there were no women actors in those days, but those men would put on a face for whatever character they were playing. And the word for hypocrite is that false face. So the Lord is saying, you have on a false face. You're not real. You're not true. "For you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation." And in the 33rd verse, he said, "You generation of vipers, how shall you escape the damnation of hell?" So most of the time when people are looking for this man in the scriptures, they're looking in the wrong place. You're not going to find him in those categories, nor any other. This man of the text knows in his heart that he is a sinner. This man is a convinced sinner. "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." He's been convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as a consequence, He's like Lydia was in Acts 16 and verse 14. Acts 16 and verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple in the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God. Now I want you to mark this. This woman was a worshiper of God, but she wasn't saved. She knew about the true God somehow or other. She was a Gentile, but somehow or other, she had learned about the true God and was worshiping him, but she wasn't saved. She didn't know how her sins could be forgiven. She didn't know how to be saved. And she heard us, that is Paul and his helper, whose heart, now you mark this, whose heart the Lord opened. And that opened heart meant that she attended unto the things that Paul spoke. That is, she was attracted by the power of the Holy Spirit to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And she said, that's what I need. And by the grace of God, she was saved. And she was baptized then. And listen, don't ever get the idea you can get baptized and then get saved later. You need to go first to Jesus Christ for salvation. And then when you're saved, then you're a subject for baptism. So this man in the text, and it can be a woman or a man, it doesn't make a bit of difference, is a sinner in his own right. And he knows he's a sinner. He's a convicted sinner. And nobody ever has the righteousness of Christ imputed unto him until he first comes as a sinner. You're not the slightest bit interested in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ if you're not a sinner. Because, after all, if you're not a sinner, why do you need redemption? And you will never seek it until you are convicted of the Holy Spirit that there's no hope for you in this world except you can have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's the person that's in this text. You remember the publican that went up to the temple to pray in Luke 18, 13th verse. That old publican went up there and he went right because he was down. The old preachers used to say the way up is down. And this old sinner couldn't even look up. But there he beat upon his chest. And he said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That's a man that's in our text. That's the man. Blessed is this man. And the Lord will not impute sin to him. Why? Because he's looking to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is his substitute. He died for him on the cross and arose from the dead and hauled his sins all away so that he will never meet them again. That's the man of the text. And that's the man that publican was. A sinner who knows that he's lost. When the Philippian jailer said to Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. What was that old jailer saying? I'm lost. I'm ruined. I've had all these pagan religions all my life and they've never done a thing for me. But I realize now I'm a sinner and I need salvation. And they said, look to Jesus Christ and you've got it. And he did. This sinner of our text is a sinner that had great weight upon his shoulders. If you're familiar with John Bunyan and with his Pilgrim's Progress, you'll remember that in the first part of that amazing story of the salvation of a lost sinner, that Bunyan had upon his back a huge burden, and it was tied on him, and he couldn't get rid of it. He went to Mount Sinai, the law, to get the law to take it off. The law couldn't remove it. And we, you know, we sing in that song, "This mountain is no hiding place. You better go somewhere else. That mountain will fall on you and crush you." That's what Bunyan thought it was going to do to him. And he kept right on following what the evangelist told him to do. That's a preacher. And he went till he come to the little wicket gate. He went through the little wicket gate. When he went through the little wicket gate, he saw Christ on the cross. And right then and there, he said the ropes that tied that burden to his back cracked. And that burden flew off his back and it rolled down the hill and it went in the tomb. And he never saw it anymore. That's this man we're looking for right here. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not charge sin. So let's get this straight. When it comes to sin, don't you dare start pointing over there, or back there, or that way. Because, you know, in crimes, when they can find a man's fingerprint on the murder weapon, it means a lot. Or if they can find his DNA under the fingernails of a woman that he killed, they've got good evidence they can take into court. Well, let me tell you, for you and me, our fingerprints and our DNA are all over our sins. And there's no escaping the penalty. Therefore, we must have a glorious substitute in order to have Christ and God not impute sin to us. In the third place, we'll look at the divine intervention. There's a divine intervention to put the status of an individual who can never be charged with sin. I want you to think about that. The most horrible burden that a sinner can bear is to know that his sins are upon him and that he can't get rid of them himself. He can't do it through the law or good works or joining the church or any other thing. It's only through the divine intervention of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the man. Look what we have here in the text. Notice that Paul starts out here. He says in verse 4, "Now to him that works," and every Christian ought to do good works, but not in order to be saved, but because he has been. "Now to him that does, that works, is the reward not reckoned of grace." Listen, if you do something to get saved, then God has a responsibility to give it to you. But that denudes grace of its meaning. Grace is favor that has no merit in the person that receives it. So it's got to be a pure gift, something that we didn't in any way earn or merit. So he says, "Not to him that works is the reward, for the reward is not reckoned of grace, but of debt in that case, but to him that works not." This individual that we are looking at in our text, verse 8, blesses is the man to whom the Lord will not charge sin, is not a man that worked to get that status. But to him that works not, well, then how are we to receive it if we don't do anything for it? He tells us, but to him that believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, that doesn't mean that his faith is the righteousness. It just means his faith is what connects him to Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness. And then he goes on to say, even as David also described the blessedness of this man, unto whom God imputes righteousness. Now get this, without works. Don't ever think that your faith, that your baptism, that your good deeds is what motivated God to be gracious. Never happened. Couldn't be. Because it is without works. None. Not that you had a few good works that he could look at and say, okay, on that basis, I'll give you the righteousness of Christ. No. No, not one. No such sinner ever lived. Saying, verse 7, blessed are they whose iniquities. He's dealing with sinners here. If you say, well, I'm not a sinner, then I haven't got a thing in the world for you. Whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered with the blood of Jesus Christ, and so they no longer exist. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So there's a divine intervention here. In Romans 3:21, the scripture says this, but now the righteousness of God without the law, don't bring the law into the equation. That won't help you. Is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. This man of our text has righteousness separate and apart from the law. Let the law be over there. It's not involved. He got it some other way. It was through the divine intervention of God through his Son. This cannot be works that he's done, because those works that we do belong to us. And it's just like working for a man on a job. If you hire a man to work for you and you tell him you're going to pay him $15 an hour and he works an hour, you owe him $15. If you want to make salvation out like that, you go right ahead and try it. But I'm going to tell you what, you'll come up with a zero, because you've never done any good work. Only we're clothed by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when we stand in heaven as saved people, you won't be standing there on your own righteousness. You're going to be standing there in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Therefore, how did this man get this righteousness? That's the question. We recognize that this is a blessed man to whom the Lord will not charge sin, but how did he get it? nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim. But Jesus died my soul to save. That's my only hope. That's the only hope of any sinner. He got this righteousness exactly the same way he got his sinful nature. How did I become a sinner? How did you become a sinner? I didn't have a thing in the world to do with it. I did not earn it. I did not vote for it. I did not hold up my hand to get it. I just had it. And I've had it ever since I was in my mother's womb. I got it from Adam, and it was imputed to me. Imputed to me, charged to me, and it was charged to every other human being except the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a consequence, we are sinners. Not by what we did, but by what God charged us with, justly, I might add. And when we receive the righteousness of Christ, you don't have a thing in the world to do with it. All you're doing is holding your empty hands up and receiving what Christ did for you. That's faith. That's looking to Jesus Christ. This man, that was blessed, this man that had the righteousness of Christ imputed to him, was not a man that was on the treadmill of good works. He didn't do a thing in the world. He just received it. And it's imputed to us. It's counted to us. It's charged to us. It's reckoned to us. And it is a complete, perfect package of righteousness. And there's no other righteousness in the whole world. None. Now, after we're saved by God's grace, we're to do good works. But even our good works have sin in them. You've never, if you're a child of God, you've never prayed a prayer. You've never done a good deed. You've never said a good word that didn't have sin in it. That's because of what we are. And therefore, our salvation has to be all of grace and none of works. And we receive it by imputation. Christ, here it is. And that is the blessed man. This righteousness is complete. This righteousness is perfect. The law walks up and looks at this righteousness of Jesus Christ and says, absolutely perfect. And he goes away. Justice looks the same thing. Everything about this righteousness of Christ is heaven worthy. And when I die, receive me, I'll cry. Jesus has loved me. I cannot tell why. No good in me. And no good in that sinner over there, or that sinner over there. We're all sinners. We're all exactly alike as far as sin is concerned. Don't you ever get the idea that you're better than somebody else. You aren't. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd be exactly like that. So here is a complete, perfect righteousness, and the law is honored, justice is satisfied, and all the honor and the glory goes to Jesus Christ. This is the sinner that we find here in the text. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Let me ask you a question. Are you a blessed man, a blessed person, in the sense of which Paul speaks of it here? That is what every one of us must have if we meet God in peace. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. But if we've received the righteousness of Jesus Christ by imputation and believed on Jesus Christ, then there's no condemnation in us. There's no reason for us to be condemned. Can't go to hell because we've got the righteousness of Christ. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray that the Lord will enable you to believe it and embrace it. Then you will indeed be a blessed individual. May the Lord help you.